G'day and welcome to the Farm Advice podcast, where we talk everything agribusiness. This is all part of the Harvest series brought to you by the leaders, innovators of Australian agriculture. From growers, lawyers, accountants, agronomists, and now contractors on today's episode. I hope you can use these technologies that we've talked about on the show to implement into your next year's harvest, no matter what you're cropping. Tell the crew and your boss to listen in to improve your yield, simplify your operation, or even save you some time picking or driving the tractor chasing down the header. This episode, we head out to Victoria, to Kanaiva, smack bang in the middle of Adelaide and Melbourne, best of both worlds, to see how farming, contracting, and YouTube all work within this year's harvest. A pretty cool episode, if I don't say so myself. So, if you like this episode, please help the podcast by sharing it with your mates within your harvest crew so that we can grow and reach more farmers right across Australia. We've hit a milestone of 5,000 listeners in the last month, so we're really going somewhere. And I'm also a farmer too, so doing this on a side, it'd be great help if you can help spread the word. Let's get into it. Mark, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely, mate. Good to have you on and get you in for this harvest series. How's all the weather looking down your way and the crops? How are they looking?
Looking pretty good, really. Yeah, we have had less rain than what is average, but our crops are looking pretty good for considering everything, really. So, we're a couple of weeks out from windrowing, and all the bones are there, and it's looking good.
Absolutely. So it's looking for a better than average year, a bit of a bumper crop on average right across Australia. I think it's 54.1 million tonnes. So hopefully by come harvest time for yourself and those further north already started, they're going to get some good yields off this year. What's the yield looking like in the starting season for harvest for planting time?
For us, it's looking right on an average yield, I'd say. Nothing spectacular, but not bad at all. So,
Well, you can't argue with that. On average, is pretty good and get you out of the last few years have been pretty tough. Before we get down to agribusiness and everything else, what's your background and connection to agriculture and where did it all kick off for you?
So, for me, I've always been on the farm. Grew up on the farm with mum and dad and my four siblings. Pa was a farmer. Pa's dad was a farmer. I think his dad was a farmer. And I think his dad before that came out on a boat from England. So it's in our blood, really.
Stole a loaf of bread or something. Yep, beautiful. Yeah. So it's 4 to 5 generations of farming there, maybe even 6. I didn't get the count. But yeah.
I think 6, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty astonishing how long you've been in farming. And as everyone knows, Australia's pretty new compared to other nations developing. But getting into agriculture, how important is it sticking in agriculture as a young person for yourself and your other four siblings? Are they in the farming operation as well? Or?
So we've been through a bit of a succession planning sort of a phase of our business or of my parents' business. And my oldest brother, he exited the farm with his own piece of land and started a contracting business similar to what I've started. And then my three other siblings, they're not interested in the farm as well. But
Very, very sort of similar to others out there, I hear. So you get some that like the ag part and some that don't, but always good. I think succession planning is a huge topic currently. So good to hear that you've gone through that and set the, what sort of advice would you give for anyone going through succession from the young sort of farmer point of view?
My advice, I was pretty much a bystander in all of ours because I'd only just left school. But my advice would be start and do whatever you can. Even if it's just a discussion, just get into it, because the more you can talk about it and think about it, the easier it'll happen, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And that's been the word going around on the podcast for each person that I've come on the show that's talked about succession planning. But talk to me about like what your operation looks like and what your program does. And also, let's get into some contracting, as that's a bit of a thing why I've got you on. You're a unique guest on the show, and I was trying to get you on.
Yeah. So we're running about, I think it's right around 7,000 acres. Our farm is at the moment. We're running about 2,000 breeding ewes, and that's probably our main income.
Yep.
Breeding prime lambs out of 1,000, and then out of the remaining 1,000, we're crossing with a Border Leicester ram and making first cross ewe lambs for sale. And then we sow a lot of cover crops for grazing. So we sow probably 1,300 hectares of crop each year, but we harvest about 600 hectares of wheat and barley. We sow a lot of vetch for sheep feed, and this is our first year sowing canola as well. So I guess when I started on the farm, I'm a bit of a business guy. For my birthday, when I turned 10, I got a lawn spreader, a fertilizer spreader. I quickly hopped on the computer and made up this nice sheet of paper that advertised my contracting business. And I went around to a few families' places and spread their lawn with fertilizer. So it's kind of been in me from the start. I really wanted to sink my teeth into the farming, and an opportunity came up for me to buy an offset disc. Or I've been told on YouTube that it's not called an offset disc. It's called a tandem disc harrow. But I bought one of them and did a bit of contracting, hired it out to a few people around the place. And then with the succession planning, I was able to buy some land off mum and dad. And then from that, I was able to buy a self-propelled sprayer, which is way bigger than what we need on our farm. Huge capacity. But the way I was able to justify that was because I had a lot of contract windrowing lined up. So it's becoming quite, a lot of people value the windrowing and spraying underneath the cutter bar. And the nitros with the windrow front on them are really the perfect machine for that, I think. And so I do all the spraying at mum and dad's place with the nitro during the year. And then for 2 weeks, usually at the start of November, I put the windrow front on and drive it around the countryside and windrow as much canola as I can. And that short stint of contracting pays for having an awesome high clearance sprayer for the rest of the year.
Yeah, beautiful. So you're windrowing and spraying at your family's place. Have you picked up some work following around the region for it?
Yeah, so this is actually the first year that I'll be doing windrowing and spraying on our own farm.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had canola to windrow beforehand. But yeah, so I do about 1,300 hectares for other farmers around the area.
Yep.
So yeah.
Beautiful. Keeps you ticking along and really keeps that money coming in so you can cover your expenses, I could imagine. What was the decision on canola? Was that price?
Price and rotation. We were down to put in a lot of vetch. And I kind of just looked at the hay market and went, it's not looking that good. Thought canola's looking really good. So maybe we'll try for a different type of a broadleaf. And yeah, it's come off for us this year, or so far anyway.
Yeah, so the canola price is going pretty good around, I think, averaging $800, but nearing that 1,000 as we come into harvest time. What's the prices doing down south, and like where do you sort of sell to? Is it going into export, into the ports, or?
Yeah. So ours goes into the local grain corp system and then down to Portland after that. So yeah, prices are, canola's hovering around, the last time I looked last week, I think it was $900 a ton or something like that. And wheat was around 300, I think. I can't remember perfectly, but they're looking pretty good. I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good year to fill the pockets of farmers that have had a rough trot in the last 4 to 5 years. You guys had a pretty rough trot down there as well, around Canaima as well.
So we're in a very fortunate area, right? Yep. Where we are. We've had a few years where we've only just had enough rain and only just at exactly the right times. But we're running on, I think it's 6 decent years in a row. But before that, I think it was almost 15 years of no bumper years.
Yeah.
So we're very, very, very fortunate in this area that we've had a good trot. But the land price has definitely followed that. Those good years, and it's represented, I think, last year or maybe in January something, there was a block of land around here that sold for pretty sure it was $7,000 an acre, which is just astronomical. Like, I don't know how they can make that work, but anyway, hats off to them for having a go at it. Yeah,
100%. They used to be only getting that $7,000 or thereabouts for just a lifestyle for those richer people looking to retire. And now it's gone into big property too. So you have to pay big bucks to get into land, no matter where you are. Mm. And the land was looking at the price per millimeter of hectare that you own and whereabouts. That's pretty interesting to see of how it's determined by your rainfall and how it goes.
So I actually had a look at that, and I think we're in maybe not the highest area on that land article, but we're definitely in the second highest bracket.
Well, you can't argue with that, and it's a pretty good thing to be within that bracket for sure. But mate, you've started a YouTube channel, and you got into, I don't know, is it advocating or is it telling your story or is it how to's for YouTube channels?
Talk a bit of everything, I guess. It's kind of a mix of it all. But yeah. So I just decided I wanted to see some Australian farmers out there because I'd watched the likes of the Welka Family Farm and the Millennial Farmer. And kind of thought, I'd really like to see some Australians. And my wife said, well, why don't you have a go? So I got a GoPro for my birthday and pointed at anything that I thought was interesting, and I've ended up, with a few people watching it.
Yeah, that's it. And it's a bit of a unique position, like that Millennial Farmer, he's killing it and getting 200 million views or something crazy like that. But it's a bit of a different market down here in Australia. We don't really have the consumers to be able to watch this content or the amount of farmers that can relate to what the content is. But what got you into it? Was it just watching the Millennial Farmer and see that tick away and you're like, we could do this for Australia and see what happens?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that was pretty much it. But I guess really I've always been interested in video and stuff like that. Like, I found some videos that I've made for my niece and nephew who live in Melbourne. Yeah. I made them on a really, really cheap camera. And that was back in 2016. So that was before the Millennial Farmer even started his account. And they were the vlog style videos of what I was doing in the day. So I guess I'm definitely not claiming it as my own idea, but it's something that I've been trying my hand at for a fair while. Yeah,
well, great stuff. I think the farming community needs a bit of content in there and to liven it up and make it a bit more exciting than that just day-to-day content, newspapers, and then just a generic sort of shot of farming. But to bring into your own farming practices and what you get up to, it's pretty cool. And then it probably leads into schools and everything, the younger kids looking to find out what's happening on farm and a bit of a tutorial of how the day goes.
I kind of, my aim or my audience that I'm aiming at is sort of teenagers, like older teenagers and adults. I'm not so much going for the young kids because I think there is a lot of quite a bit of resource out there for the young kids along the lines of George the Farmer.
Yeah, he's unreal.
So I kind of didn't want to step on anyone's toes, and that's not really where I want to, where I see myself having the best impact. So yeah, I just kind of try to go a bit more in depth and explain the why behind what we're doing and the decisions that we're making. So yeah.
Absolutely, mate. Well, it's making a bit of a breakthrough for that, I imagine, with the views that you're getting and the exposure that you've had. I've seen it being up here in New South Wales, so it's going pretty good. And keep up the good work. But for your farm, what are any technologies or techniques that you or your family have implemented that's helped you throughout your day-to-day routine?
Yeah, so probably the biggest one, and I would say the biggest one for most farms worldwide, really, is the inventing of auto steering for tractors.
Yeah.
Like, if you told my pa probably 40 years ago, oh, look, in 40 years, I'll be sitting on a tractor looking on my phone while the tractor's driving itself and variable rating different products, he just would have been like, nah, you're joking, mate. That's ridiculous. But like, it's just commonplace now. I think really that has changed our farm more than anything more recently. But yeah, just how technology is going, it's exciting to see. And I'm excited to see what they come up with in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot more to come, and we're really like just at the beginning of it. But I agree, those straight lines, they do get you. And that neighbor that hasn't quite got those lines ready, you know, he's not running the auto steer. And I'll have to put my tail between my legs, because we're not actually running auto steer here. We're predominantly stockies with a few crops. So it's just my steady arms at the moment. But I think as we extend our cropping program, we'll probably look into it and see how it can work for us. I know it's a good thing to add into it, but
yeah, there's nothing wrong with steering, Jack. Don't worry about that. It worked for plenty of years before we got all fancy, but yeah, nah.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as you can work it into your own sort of enterprise and it works for you, why not? And if it doesn't, don't worry about it. But for yourself, the pandemic, connecting with people on YouTube, what sort of challenges have you seen or haven't seen working on your family farm during the last 2 years?
So my channel really only started at the start of the pandemic. That's when I really got started in it. I think because I had a lot of time on my hands, but also seeing a heap of people panic buying, like from supermarkets and stuff, I was like, oh, these people need to know that their food's not running out. Food isn't made just like that. It's takes a long time to grow it and produce it. But yeah, some challenges, I guess. I haven't been to a field days in 3 years, and
big one.
Yeah, I really miss that. I was looking forward to them this year. The speed field days, they planned it all, and then like a month out before it went ahead, a lockdown happened and they had to cancel it, which was a shame. But I think we're still experiencing the flow-on effects of it. And I think the mental health burden on it all will be quite evident in the future. But border crossing has been our biggest issue. Being right next to the Victoria, South Australia border, all of our machinery dealers are in border town and we're on the Victorian side. So there has been some times where we've had to freight stuff to Canova and pick it up, where we can't go into the machinery dealers ourselves. So that's just a whole nother challenge. But anyway, you got to do what you got to do.
That's it. Get on with the job. And those delays for agriculture have been pretty lengthy. And hopefully come harvest time, we can sort of sort those out. Breakdowns in the paddock are inevitable for whoever's out there harvesting. So hopefully we can iron a few of those things out and speed up the process for you.
Yeah, definitely.
But for yourself, for YouTube, your farming, and also Merit Contracting, what's a goal that you've set in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I kind of thought about this one a bit, and I with YouTube, I didn't expect it to get to where it is. Like, I expected maybe a couple of hundred people to watch the videos or something like that, but I never thought that it would be to get what it has. I'm just blown away, really. So everything that happens, anyone who sends me an email and says, oh, I want to work with you, I want you to come on my podcast, I'm just blown away, really, because I'm just Mark from Conniver. I'm just doing my own thing. And yeah, so there's not really any goals with that. Just keep going, probably, is the biggest goal. And that's the same with farming, just to try and improve. I just, in 5 years' time, I just want to be better than what I am now. I want to be more efficient, and yeah, hopefully it's in a better spot than what it is currently.
Yeah, absolutely. Be a little bit better for tomorrow. That consistency of like what we do, your YouTube channel and podcasting, needs to be pretty high. Otherwise, like if you drop off in agriculture, your crop's going to drop off, or your ewes are going to decrease in value over time. So that consistency, getting it right and seeing how it goes, really plays hand in hand with farming and your YouTube channel.
Yeah, for sure. Consistency is key.
Absolutely. So off the head, which is your biggest video that you had on YouTube go viral for Australian agriculture?
So my biggest one is, I can't remember what the title of it is. I released it in October of 2019. So it's got the same birthday as COVID. And yeah, we just sorted out some sheep, got some lambs out of the ewes that had jumped through the fence. And I think I even mowed my lawn at the end. And I looked back at it, and some of the editing's a bit dodgy, and I used copyrighted songs, so I haven't been able to monetize it. Yeah, and it's got like 25,000 views or something like that. I haven't looked for a while, but yeah, maybe 20,000. It's just, for whatever reason, hit the algorithm right, and people loved it.
Absolutely. Well, I think I saw someone say, but if you only get 30 views on your video, but 30 people turned up to your front door and knocked and wanted to see what you're up to and what you're doing, you'd be pretty rapt about how 30 people came to your door. So no matter if 25,000 people rocked up to your door or saw an event, it's like the podcast. If 5,000 people were in auditorium and I was speaking, I don't think I could actually speak properly. It's good behind a screen or just one-to-one. It's a lot better than 1 to 5,000.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But mate, what are you most excited about agriculture coming up and what the opportunities are? And what would be one piece of farms advice for someone within agriculture looking to do what you have done with your YouTube channel, or someone looking to get into agriculture?
My pieces of advice would be, you don't have to start a YouTube channel. You don't have to start a podcast. You don't have to start an Instagram page or Facebook page, whatever. Just do whatever you feel is the best thing to spread the good news of agriculture. Just so happens I've got the gear and I've had a go at the YouTube channel, and it's come off for me, but it probably won't work for everyone. But just simply talking to your Uncle Bill, who lives in Melbourne, who's a businessman, and telling him about farming and him being really interested. If that's all you can do, do that. And just that's a step forward for agriculture, and that's all we can really ask. Together, we're all a team trying to show how good Australian agriculture really is. So, yeah, and anyone looking to get into business or farming or anything like that, my advice is look out for opportunities. There's opportunities everywhere. Look out for them. Consider everything. Don't say no to anything that you haven't considered. And choose wisely, I guess. It's just, the world is your oyster. You've just got to have a go at it, is probably my best advice. And some things I'm excited about is, the advent of technology in agriculture and how accessible it is to just the common person now. Like, it's not a luxury anymore. people are starting to view it as a necessity for our farming practices. So yeah, that's really exciting for me. As more people adopt it, it becomes invested in more by the companies, and it will become more available to everyone.
Beautifully put about the mold of how people are doing it within agriculture. We all hold a little piece of agriculture and have our inputs. YouTube channel might not be for you, but if you find your niche within agriculture and stick with it, you're sure to be come up with something that's really worthwhile for it. But
yeah, for sure.
Before you go, what's a piece of advice that you've received that's keep you ticking, that gets you up in the morning to go contracting when it's 45 degrees?
Well, a local farmer told me one day, just go and borrow some more money. There's nothing like a bit of debt to get you out of bed in the morning. that's a bit of a laugh, that one. But that does keep you motivated. Probably a piece of advice that I was given that was very valuable to me is you can learn something from every situation. I think as soon as you write off a situation and think, nah, this person hasn't got anything to offer me, you're never going to learn anything. But if you come to every situation thinking this person or this job, this day, I'm going to learn something from it. What can I learn? Well, then, yeah, you're going to get better each day. And that's what it's all about, I guess.
Absolutely. It's all you can do. As your hat says on your head there, Mark, you're a bit of an ag leader, both on YouTube and out in the paddock. So thanks for coming on and sharing a bit of your advice and see how we can produce our own YouTube channel. I need to spend a bit more time on ours as well. But great to have you on and see your expertise and what you're up to, and also your family down there. It's a new region for the podcast, so thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So if you want to find me on YouTube, just search up Merit Contracting Australia Farm on YouTube, and I should pop up. And it's just Merit Contracting on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok and Twitter. I have a go at a bit of everything. So, yeah.
Beautiful. I'll have all the links in the show notes. Before you go, who else would you like to hear on the FarmsWise podcast and why?
Oh, who would I like to hear? Oh, you put me on the spot now. I haven't had a think about it.
Can be industry related if you like.
Yeah.
Keep it down Caniva way, so you keep it local. Get a few.
I would like to hear from Nathan Tink. He's got a wealth of knowledge about agronomy. Yep. And I learn something every time he comes out to the farm. He's our agronomist. And I think he'd have a lot to offer the podcast.
Right. Well, the pressure's on, Nathan. We'll get in touch very soon. Right, mate. Thanks for coming. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Jack.
No matter where you tuned in from, the paddock, the office, the tractor, or out there picking Australia's fruit and vegetables, thanks for tuning in for episode number 5 of the Harvest Series. And thanks to Mark Merritt for coming on the show and giving us his time and the transparency to see through what his operation looks like and what he's keen on in the next 5 to 10 years. Make sure you do share this episode and get it out there, and maybe even a cheeky 5-star review on Apple Podcasts to help us get a better yield for the podcast harvest each week. Until Tuesday next week, keep on harvesting and we'll keep on farming over here. See you next time. Farmers, don't forget to enter our very first hat competition. Head over to FarmsVice Instagram page and make sure you join along to be in the running to win the very first FarmsVice hat. See you next week.